The title of our Sunday school lesson today is The Comforter, and our devotional and background study comes from the 16th chapter of John and verses 7 through 16. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Would there be any announcements before we go to our class? If not, let's go to Sunday school. Our lesson text today comes from John chapter 14, a couple of chapters before our devotional background study. And the verses are 15 through 27. And I'll read that at this time. John 14, starting with verse 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, this is Jesus speaking, and he's telling of the Comforter that is to come. And we today that are saved know that in our heart we feel the guidance of the Lord. We know when he's talking to us. This is something that we all talk about and we acknowledge. And we tell the lost say, well, how am I going to know when I'm saved? We're talking to them and they ask us this. And I believe I asked it, it's pretty common when a person is lost, how do I know when I'm saved? And the answer is always, you'll know. Well, because the Lord takes up his abode, he says, in our hearts. And that is, he lives within us. And it's true, you know, you have that feeling. And that feeling is that, and it's more than a feeling.
it's hard to describe, and it's something that you can't describe to the lost. But you that are saved know what I'm talking about. You have that guidance within you. You have that still, small voice, as Isaiah speaks of. That is the Spirit of God giving us guidance and instructions. The problem that we as God's people have is sometimes we let the world drown that out, and that's our choice. We can do that. We can this peace that he speaks of, this calm peace that we have in our hearts and that we first experienced when we were saved, we can become burdened down with the things of the world, and it kind of pushes that to the side. It never fully goes away. It never the Lord said he'd never leave us nor forsake us, and we don't lose our salvation, but we can become immersed in the world, and we kind of lose contact with that, because when we desire the things of the world, we don't hear that still small voice so much. We don't have that guidance. We don't have that comforter as much. Now, it's not because he's taking it away. It's because we as his people have turned aside for a little bit. I want to read here in the 15th chapter and starting in the 4th verse a little bit. This is Jesus still, and he says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me." Now, this word abide here, we had it in the 16th verse of the 14th chapter. He said, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." From what I'm looked up on this word abide, the closest thing that I can come to another word would be live. He'll live with you. And when you start substituting live here for abide, that he may live with you forever. The Lord is going to be here with us in our hearts forever. And he speaks here in this 4th verse of the 15th chapter, substituting live for abide. Live in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it live in the vine, so more can ye except ye live in me. We as God's people need to be living in Christ. And by that I mean our thoughts and our actions on a daily basis ought to be centered around him. When we get up in the morning, we ought to be, and I'm saying we ought to, I'm not saying that we do this, I don't very much, not like I ought to, but so I'm speaking of myself, what I should be doing, not necessarily what I do. I don't want to mislead anybody to think that I'm telling y'all that I'm doing better. I'm not, but from what I'm gathering here and reading these passages, we should, as God's people, should be getting up every morning thinking, what would the Lord have me to do? And praying, the first thing we ought to do, I believe, is pray to God. Ask for direction throughout that day. Where does he want us to go? Now, I understand, and I do, I have to go to work. I mean, that's you get up in the morning thinking about your work day, about what you're going to do. But we as his people ought to be praying that he would be with us at work, that he would guide us at our workplace, that he send people to us at work to speak with, to talk to, that we can be an example. You know, I don't have to be out hounding people at work every day about being saved, but I ought to every day have a concern when I come into contact, and it ought to come into my mind, is this person lost? Chances are, if you're out in the world in general with somebody, you're probably dealing with a lost person, and you know, it might not be the right time to speak to them. You may go weeks or months before it's the right time, but at some point, if every day you look at that person and think, he's lost, I need to be an example to him. I need to be praying to God for him. And you let this be on your mind, then you begin to abide in Jesus. You begin to live in him. You begin to see things the way that he sees things, not the way that I see things. I don't see things that way. I see things as what I need to be doing today, how I need to be accomplishing the secular job that I have. I need to be getting things done. And the things of the Lord kind of fall back to the wayside. So I'm not living in Christ. But I believe he's saying here, and I'm going to read a little bit more, that that's not the way to be. That if I will focus on the things that he'd have me to focus on, if I will try to put my mind, and it is a thing with my mind, because my heart is right. The Lord fixed my heart. If I can get my mind right, my heart's going to give me some instructions. It's going to give me some guidance. But my mind, it gets in the way. Let's read on here in the fifth verse of the 15th chapter. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them up and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Now, I've always thought that this was speaking of salvation, that if a man abide not in Christ, then he's going to be cast off into hell and burned. But as I read this lesson and I studied it, I don't think that's what he's talking about. Now, if a man abide not in me, if I go out in my life, I am a saved person. The Lord saved me right here when I was 31 years old. And that's sealed. That's a done deal. I'm going to heaven. My ticket's is good. It won't go away. But I can choose for the rest of my life to not serve the Lord. I can get caught up in these things and live life here all focused on the world and whatever it is that I can get. I can do that. I won't be abiding. I won't be living in Christ. I won't be living the way that I said just a few seconds ago I ought to be living. I won't be focused on those that are around me being examples to them. I'll be focused on myself, what I can do, what I can gain, what I can gather. And when I'm in that position, I've pushed this comforter that I'm speaking of, that is our lesson today, I've pushed that aside. And I'm not going to have the convicting power of the Holy Spirit about me. So I can choose to abide not in him, as it says in the sixth verse, and he is cast forth as a branch. When I do that, I'm not going to have the Lord around me. I'm going to kind of take it upon myself to just live as I want to. And I'm going to begin to suffer spiritually. It says here, and is withered. Now, a plant can wither and still live. That doesn't mean die. It can just kind of, it doesn't grow. It doesn't get any better. It doesn't bear any fruit. The leaves are kind of stunted and yellowish looking. They're not healthy at all. But it's still alive. And then it says, and men gather them and cast them into the fire. Well, I believe that when I just turn my back on Christ and I don't do what he'd have me to do, but I'm all selfish and self-centered, then he allows men to come in and cause me trouble. They can't touch my soul. They can't do anything there. But I can experience all kinds of problems in life. I just get weighted down and I've done that. I'm ashamed to say it, but I've had that happen to me. It just seems like there's no good to come anywhere. That everywhere you turn, there's some kind of problem cropping up, and the least little thing just brings you down, and you worry about things, and it just seems like nothing's going to turn out right. It's not a men turning against me and hauling me off to jail situation. It's just a matter of things just don't go well. It's just like nothing goes right when you turn your back on the Lord. But it says, men gather them, cast them in the fire, and they are burned. Again, I don't think they're killed. They're just in, I hate to use the word torment, but just not in a happy place, not content, not living a good life, not a fruitful life. But he goes on and says in the seventh verse, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. If I, as his child, will obey him, if I'll study my Bible, if I'll have a Christ-like heart about me to be concerned with other people and with furthering God's cause, and I concentrate on those, it says that I'll ask of him, and he'll do that for me, whatever it is that I need. And I take that to mean that when there's something troubling me, something bothering me, that comforter is there then to comfort me, to help me fix it, or to see me through it. If it's something that it's not the Lord's will to be fixed, it may be that there is some kind of problem that I'm going to go through. But if I'm where God would have me to be, this comforter is going to get me through it, and it's not going to be a really big deal. You know, we study about the apostles, how they were put to death. And you can read Fox's Book of Martyrs. They were put to death in horrible means. They were tortured greatly. But I believe the Lord was with them and saw them through that. And although I do feel like I believe they experienced pain, I don't think it was this is hard to explain. It's hard to describe because I don't want to minimize what they felt, but I do want to get across the point that when the Lord helps you through something, it's not that big a deal. It's not the same as if I turn my back on the Lord and have to go through something on my own. That's almost unbearable. But with the Lord, with the Comforter here, seeing them through, I think it was very much bearable. And it's the same way with us today. God will see us through with this Comforter if we are willing to abide with Him, if we're willing to live in Him. Because we need to understand that these promises that are given, He says here, if that indicates we have a choice. If we abide in Him, if we choose not to, if we choose to abide in this world, then this rest of these things aren't applicable. We can't expect Him to be here for us. We're just kind of taking it upon ourselves. We're going to blaze our own trail and fight our own battles and survive as best we can. And that won't be very good. That won't be a comforting for us. But He says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Okay. Here we have this joy He's speaking of. If we abide in Him, if we do the things that He says, if we have the concerns upon our heart that we ought to be concerned with and not the things of the world that we often are concerned with, if we have those things on our heart, our joy will be full. And I believe it's this Comforter that we're speaking of that brings that joy to us, that fills our hearts up to overflowing. So sometimes it feels like we just can't stand it. There's so much joy. And it's not a joy that the world can look around and see a reason for. I believe that we studied a few weeks ago about Paul and Silas being in the jail. I believe they experienced that joy while they were in that jail. And the other prisoners saw that, and there was no reason at all. They were in an uncomfortable position. They were being persecuted very much. And yet they had that joy in their heart that was evident to those that were around them. And I think that's why that I said last when we studied that was a revival. They had a revival there. And I think that was the reason. They had that Spirit of God about them. They had that Comforter. And they had that joy in their heart, even though there was no reason, as the world sees it, for there to be any joy about them. He says in the 12th verse, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." Now, not just love one another, but love one another as I have loved you, with a complete love, with a whole love. He goes on, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." Now, when I first started studying this lesson, Samson came to my mind. Y'all all know the story about Samson, how that Samson was a man of God, but he kind of, and we studied this in times past, I guess he had an appetite for women. It seems like he, I'm not going to go into that. But in Judges, let me turn back to it so I don't quote it wrong. Judges chapter 13, verse 25, and it said, and this is speaking of Samson, "And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol." The Spirit of the Lord began to move him, Samson. So Samson, and you all know the story. Samson was a mighty man, I mean, very strong. And the things that he did, how that he lived, he did some things that he shouldn't have, but he was a man of God. And y'all know about Delilah, I'm not going to go into that too much, but in the 16th chapter in the 20th verse, and this is Delilah, "And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson," and this is after she's cut his hair, "and he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him." The Spirit of the Lord was departed from him, and he didn't know it. And I believe the reasoning for that was because he had gotten involved with Delilah. There's a lot there that I don't understand, so I'm going to kind of just leave that. But the point that I want us to get out of this is that we need to be very careful, because Samson got up and he's going out there and he doesn't even perceive that he doesn't have his strength any longer. You know, we don't want to get in that position. We don't want to be wandering around in the world and just slowly drifting away, and it doesn't even cross our minds that the Lord's not with us any longer. We just kind of like, wow, hadn't heard from the Lord in a while. Wonder why. I guess he's busy. You know, I guess that's what it is. There are so many bad people out here. There's so many evil people. God's just busy. That's why. That's not why. It's because we've drifted away from him. And if we do that, we need to acknowledge it. We need to turn back to him and seek this comforter. If we haven't heard from this comforter in a while, we ought to be asking why. Because it's not because he's too busy. It's not because he's out taking care of other things. It's not because other people. The Lord can be everywhere all the time. And we know that. We know these things. We know them with our mind. We need to know them with our heart. That is, we need to acknowledge the things that are going on about us, our church, our country. And we need to seek this comforter that he speaks of, because we had a lot of promises here. We had a lot of things that Jesus spoke of here for his people. He says the world doesn't know this. The world can't know it. They can't conceive of it. And they can read these and they don't understand. They may think they do, but we that have experienced this, when you felt the Lord in your heart and you know that he's led you to do something, you understand what it's talking about. And we can understand it. And we can also understand when we don't feel it, when we don't have that guidance among us. There's a reason why. He laid it out here. The Lord laid it out to his disciples. So we need to be thinking about that and studying on it. Why things occur the way they occur. It's not happenstance. The Lord has made us a lot of promises. And he said that he'd always be there with us. He would never leave us nor forsake us. If it seems like that's happened, well, he didn't lie. So what did happen? It's because sometimes we leave him. We forsake him. I guess I said sometimes, probably every day. At some point in the day, I do that. I leave him and I forsake him. And I go trotting off after something that looks good. Something shiny in the world. It just gets my attention. And I'm not really thinking about him, but I believe what he was saying there, keep your mind focused on me. Keep your mind focused on what's going on about you as it relates to the Lord. How does he see things? How does he think about things? What does he think about things? What does he think about me every day as I'm going through my life? How does he look down and see me the way that my mind goes? I believe that's what he's talking about when he says, abide in me. And I believe that abiding in him, living in him, is how we gain access to this Comforter, to this Spirit. Again, don't misunderstand me and think that I'm saying in any form or fashion that our soul is ever in jeopardy of going to hell after we've been saved. I don't want anyone to ever think that. But we ought not to think that we can do what we want to. And when I say we can do what we want to, I don't mean going out and living an immoral life. I mean putting Him to the side and just kind of living for this world as far as what we're going to do, what we're going to accomplish. Those things aren't wrong. They're not evil. But when that's all we think about, that's all we concentrate on, that's all that comes into our mind, it's a sin. And it separates us from God. And when we separate ourselves from God in that manner, we shouldn't be expecting that Comforter to come to us and help us in the hard times, because we're going through the hard times alone until we turn to the Lord in repentance and ask Him to forgive us and bring His Comforter back to us. That's everything that I've got. Does anybody have any thoughts or any comments? Appreciate y'all all showing up today, being here. If nobody has anything, let's pray that the Lord will be with the preacher as he tries to stand today to give him guidance. Don, would you dismiss us?
Blessings, blessings, and Jesus, for his sake we pray. Amen.